Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a KezSource family production. This podcast exists in large part because of KezCM, the content marketing business inside KezSource Inc. So what does KezCM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? Well, that's what we do. Content creation and distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at KezCM, we exist to help business leaders build a meaningful legacy that is worth living and leaving. Learn more by visiting KezCM.com. In this episode, we discuss acting, overcoming mental obstacles, and building a personal brand. Win all in, play my cards right. Our guest today is Rodney Damon Collins, actor, motivational speaker, and author. After a long journey of giving back overseas, Rodney currently lives in Los Angeles, California, where he's growing his acting career. You can watch Rodney as Dr. Watson on Amazon Prime's Chosen Kin Origins. Rodney's examples of fighting through adversity, having no excuses, and putting in the work were on full display in our chat. His success on and off the screen have us so excited to feature him on this podcast. And with so much to talk about, let's get right into this episode and welcome Rodney Damon Collins. Rodney, when I think of acting, I always think back to when the actor or actress had this leap of faith to finally put themselves out there. When did you know that you wanted to be an actor? And can you take it back to the time that you finally put yourself out there and took that leap of faith?
Yeah, well, I've known that I wanted to be an actor ever since I was a kid, kind of like I really enjoyed it. Even when I would play with my friends, we would kind of get together and I would almost do it like a production. I would tell my friends what role they're playing, and it was kind of weird, but I was kind of directing them on how we're going to do the whole deal. I had even put TV commercials in our playtime in the fifth grade. So a lot of this stuff came back to me as I started working more in the industry full time. I was like, wow, that's actually when my love for the arts really started, because you know, you would watch TV and it would just have such an impact on me that I wouldn't be able to let it go. Then when I was a senior in high school, that's when the bug hit me. We had a competition in high school. It's called Superfella. It's similar to like Homecoming Queens for the girls. Superfella was for the guys, and you vote for like the top five and kind of popularity and stuff of the senior class. And it was right around the time of the Sadie Hawkins dance. We used to do that dance back in the day. I don't know if they do those anymore.
Yeah.
but you know, when the girl would ask the guy out. So
right.
We used to do those. But in the process of running for the Superfella, we had to find ways to promote ourselves. So I wrote, directed, and cast my own skit.
Yeah.
And I did a spoof. I did a spoof off the Arsenio Hall show.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. I still have old footage of it. I watch it every once in a while.
Just to remind you, just to take you back. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of takes me back. And I was like, wow, that helps me remember my why. But then when I got to college, I was first generation college. So there was more pressure to, you know, pursue some things where you can actually get a solid start, so to say, in life after college. So, you know, I didn't really pursue the arts as much in college. I did a little bit, but there was pressure to go ahead and get a degree that's going to allow me to get a very good job. And coming back home from college, I can't come home and say, hey, mom and dad, yeah, I'm a theater major, I'm first generation college, and all this money you spend, you know, I'm going to Hollywood after that. So, took on, you know, a couple of different majors. I majored in like political science, history, did that kind of stuff, which was cool. But I still stayed involved with the arts. Then after college, it was really cool because I started getting involved with some of the theater work in the Cleveland area, because that's where I moved from Cleveland, Ohio. And it was really cool. But as far as really deciding to make that full leap, it was right after my son and daughter started college. And I realized that I had done everything that I needed to do as a father to help prepare them for the next phase. And I was like, okay, I'm still young enough, still in decent shape. And you know, I started looking at other guys my age, I was like, who are still acting. I was like, you know what, I can do this. So I received a job offer to move out to Los Angeles for our family. So I take the job offer. It was, you know, supposedly I was supposed to build like some sports camps and help do some youth development, because that's one of the things that I specialized in. So we get out here, and certain things that were supposed to be in place were not in place for the job. So you're like, oh no, okay. It's like, I'm out here in Los Angeles, I'm starting this job. It looks like things are starting to kind of go south a little bit with the job. But then, hey, I'm in Los Angeles. I've been wanting to be here for the longest. This is where I need to come in order to start my career. This is where I need to come to really gain recognition. So what I did is I actually went and just did a little background work just to kind of get a feel for, you know, what the LA scene is like. And before you know it, I did some work on Scandal, Grey's Anatomy a little bit, just to kind of learn a little bit. And I met a producer on set who we developed a really good friendship. And before you know it, he loved my story. He had seen my work in the past. And I get a call from him, and he offers me a role on a TV show. And I'm like, huh? So he calls me, he says, I really like your story. And you know, he was like, I was in the process of preparing a show that's going to go on Amazon. And I was like, well, do you want me to audition? He said, yeah, if you want to make it harder. It's like, I'm calling you, Rodney, because I want to offer you a role on this show. So at the time, I took the role on the show. And from that point, I decided that it's time to make a complete leap into the industry. And for the past 2.5-3 years, that's what I've been doing full time.
Wow. So, I mean, there's so much to unpack there, because you're in Cleveland and you know you want to be an actor. Like, you had seen this long before, and then certain things happen. You have children, like you said, and you're, you know, raising a family. And then you kind of use this as an opportunity to get out west, to get to the LA area. And, you know, you get out there, and it's like you kind of mentioned this, and you being a motivational guy, you automatically, right, roadblock, things aren't working out the way they're supposed to work out. And then you get opportunities, and then you get on, you just like, you drop the name Grey's Anatomy. When you say you were doing work for Grey's Anatomy or some of those other shows, which is kind of like, it seems to be, ooh, this is my first break in this scene that I needed to get there, which then led to someone finding you and saying, I want to cast you on the show. But when, like, what type of work were you doing on these shows, and how did you get those parts to be a part of those shows?
Okay. Basically, I started out, I tell anybody who wants to learn acting, don't be too big to do background work. Because if you go with the right intentions to learn, there's a whole lot of things that you can learn about production, learn about filming, learn about how the scenes are set up, and learn about how you should approach scenes. So I started out, I took a couple background jobs. And in order to do that, I registered with a company called Central Casting out here. And they're a pretty big company. A lot of popular, very established actors once worked for Central Casting. Brad Pitt, Tiffany Haddish. There's a number of actors who took that route to start out. And what it does is it gets you on the sets. So I was able to pull up to ABC Studios, get my name, and I was listed as part of, you know, the background actors for the day. So that's how I was able to get in, get on the shows. I actually had a chance to be featured on a couple of shows too, as an actor. Okay. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's the steps. That's how I got on.
Well, it relates to any business, right? Or any career you want to get into. I mean, there's a big talk right now. It's hard to find a job, you know, the job that you want. Well, how can you get the job that you want? Well, you go and start at the bottom, right? And that used to be the way it was. You start at the bottom, you work your way up. And, you know, I've heard people say they'll go work for a business owner or the leader or the mentor, and they say, I'll do it for free if I have to, because that's going to get me where I need to go, as opposed to just taking any, you know, you can't get the position if you don't do that. And it's kind of like what you did in your area to kind of find the next step. So then, this individual finds you and obviously had been paying attention because you had put yourself in this situation to be seen, to be heard, to someone can now pay attention to you, find you and put you on the show. And then all of a sudden you're going on to an Amazon Prime show. Is this the Amazon Prime show Chosen Kin, or was this a show before that?
This is the show Chosen Kin.
Okay.
And you know, it's just, it's so important to be a person that's willing to do the work behind the scenes. So many people who want to become an actor, you ask them, why do they want to do it? Some people say they want to be famous. Some people say they want to get rich. That's not the best reason to become an actor, because it's a lot of hard work behind the scenes. I'm not telling anybody that they would not achieve that level. But the thing is, you have to be willing to put in the work. You have to have a passion for it, too. I love acting. I love telling stories. I want people to, when they engage my work, I want them to be moved to action, moved to make a change, moved to laugh, whatever. But you really want to be that type of actor. You don't want to be an actor who's in it just for the so-called fame, because the more people I talk to, the harder the life is for the famous actor.
Yeah.
So, but it is, it's very much like starting a business when you become an actor. And that's why I really wanted to make sure people understand is that an actor is just as much an entrepreneur as any other business owner.
That's right. Well, and that's a big reason why we wanted to chat with you about it. I mean, you're talking about having this passion and going back, right? Watching your senior year skit that you put on. And then it's like you're this person that has the ultimate patience, right? I mean, it goes back to your senior year in high school and then going to Cleveland and then going out to California for a job that wasn't in acting. And then here you go. And you're still practicing patience to this day, because you could overstep it and you can miss it. And then you could lose that why. And I mean, I see it and you're right. I mean, you're the brand, you're the person, and you have to get noticed. But all the while, you have to be patient and you have to have that passion, like you keep saying. So you growing up, you know, Amazon Prime, Netflix, I mean, Hulu, right? These things didn't exist. I mean, it's just changed so fast. And all of a sudden, that's where the shows are. And it was pretty cool, because when I knew we were going to be chatting, I was like, well, I got to go check out Chosen Kin. And it's like, okay, pull out my phone and here we go. Like, you can watch it at any moment. What was that like, just being like, Amazon Prime? I mean, obviously it's been going on. So this is a few years ago. I think Amazon Prime was probably, you know, really starting to make their way. Netflix has obviously been around, but the industry is changing and it's changing fast. Like, what is it like for you, who's someone who came up in a different, I don't say different era, but yeah, a different era?
You know, this is the most exciting time to become an actor because of all the streaming services. You have Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, I think YouTube. You have so many networks that are being established. And what it does is it opens up an entirely new world for creative artists. You know, it really helped me. It got me excited, because 20 years ago, these type of doors were not open. You typically had to go through, you know, three or four big networks in order to get an opportunity to be seen on TV, outside of maybe landing a big commercial that might get you known. So this has definitely made it not easier. I won't say easier, but it's broadened the opportunities. And I would say with more opportunities, somebody who really wants to do this, they can be creative and write their own show, create it, start it as a web series, and then before you know it, it gets picked up.
Right.
Because that's how my show started.
Oh, wow.
My show started as a web series. It started as a web series. And then he converted it. He created a comic book based off the show.
Who was he?
Nico Sparks.
Okay.
Nico Sparks. N-E-K-O-S-P-A-R-K-S. Nico Sparks is the director and writer and creator of Chosen Kin Origins. And just even created an app now for the show where people can interact with the characters through an app. The show has gained a lot of recognition over in Europe and in Asia as well. So it's really... He started marketing to those areas first before he brought it back to the United States.
Okay. So build that foundation. So in a way, he just cut out the middle person, right? Like you hear a lot of singers, performers. They go on YouTube and they become the YouTube sensation, right? Or whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be a sensation. Like, you can cut out that middle person, get seen by someone. And next thing you know, sounds like you're getting picked up by Amazon Prime if you're putting in the work and practicing that patience, right? Like we just talked about, and have a passion for it.
That's exactly what happens. And these streaming services, they make it so, it's so much more available to you. You still have to have good content, but a person who graduates from film school, if they're a writer, director, they can create their own show, put it right out there on YouTube. You put it out there on YouTube for free.
Yeah.
You just upload your episodes. And before you know it, it's getting picked up. Like another show I'm on is called The Single Life, and it started as a web series. And my character plays a pretty interesting guy named Dwayne. So, but our show just got picked up, and we're being featured at the Pan-African Film Festival next Monday night here in Los Angeles. And they're doing like a big red carpet and Q&A with the whole cast. But once again, this guy wrote this show, started it as a web series, and it gained recognition. So it's definitely a great time for
creators. Are people getting up with this, you know, because like we talked about before, and then we say it a lot, the patience part of it, because you want to get on a show. And it's like, well, okay, see, I want to create a web series. I'm going to put it on YouTube. I'm going to put it on social media. I'm going to interact with people. It's a lot, you know, it sounds easy. It's not, right? It takes a ton of work. It's probably sleepless nights. And you, and then there's so many times you're like probably thinking, what am I doing? And then the people that you're trying to get people involved with it, and it's like no one's paying attention, right? It's like Hamilton, right? Hamilton's off Broadway. And no one even knows what it is. And now it's like a, you know, international sensation. But it takes so much time to get to that point that I could see people saying, I got to stop. Like, this isn't working. I need to make money. I'm getting family pressure. Like, what are you seeing in Hollywood? I mean, obviously people are doing this, but are you seeing people give up too? Because it is a great time to be there. But there's so much opportunity, and there's a lot of people that also want to do it. So you have competition, and you know, there's a million different shows right now on YouTube and all these other places. How do you stay motivated to stay in the game long enough to get your break?
Well, you know, that's actually the biggest thing is being able to hang in there long enough. And in order to do that, you have to have other ways of sustaining yourself while you build your project or while you focus on your opportunities in acting. And that's one of the things that, you know, I've had to work very hard at. You know, I've made myself available for mentoring. I freelance a lot. I'm a writer myself. And you have to have other ways that's going to support you while you pursue that, because the biggest reason is finances, is why a person gives up. Right. Especially in, you know, a city like Los Angeles, you're like, okay, the rent is, but okay, I can move somewhere else and I can live much better, just get a job and just let it go. So that's the biggest issue is finances. The second thing I look at is what people struggle with, and even myself, is that you do want it to happen as soon as possible. You know, you see other actors getting their chance. But what I've learned is that each person has their own path and their own story. You don't compare yourself. Comparison is the thief of joy. When you compare yourself to anyone, all you're doing is setting yourself up to be, you know, for a downfall, because your whole mindset just goes into the dumpster. It really does. Because so you never compare yourself. You look at your journey every single morning. I have affirmations written all over my house. My wife was like, you're nuts. But I was like, I have to see this, because as I'm reading it, it's speaking back to me. It's telling me who I am. It's telling me what I'm doing. It's telling me my why. And some of the things that drive me is, one, I have a wife. I have a son and daughter who are looking at me and saying, man, we really admire what you're doing. And what am I teaching them by giving up? So I look at that. I have that as a driving factor every day to me. It drives me to the point of where, hey, if I have to go without sleep tonight, I'll go without sleep. I'll catch a nap throughout the day. So a person needs to have a reason why every single morning they're doing what they're doing. If you don't have that reason why every single morning, it will crush you. It will take you out. And, you know, I'm just being honest about that.
Yeah.
But I have seen people, the people that are in my circle, we all know how to support each other. And that's another thing. You have to hang with like-minded people, people who are progressive with their mindset, people who are focused on the similar goals. You have to surround yourself with those type of people. Anybody who's negative, I'm not saying you cut them out your life, but you have to just kind of push them on the back burner because you can't allow any negativity to get into your life. Every day has got to be, this is what I'm going for. This is what I'm here. Nothing's going to stop me. And this is my little support group right here. Yeah. And that's what you really have to surround yourself. And that's, I'm telling you, that's what's kept me over the past few years. Because there have been times when I sit around and think, man, it's like, man, I had a really good job a long time ago, making really good money. But I wasn't happy.
Right.
I wasn't, yeah. You know, and being an entrepreneur, there are times when you're not going to get sleep at night. But then when everybody's working, you're on vacation. So
that's it. Well, I knew I'd enjoy this conversation because you're just saying stuff that is just resonating because I get frustrated and I don't realize it when I'm surrounded by people with a lot of negative thoughts because it brings you down incredibly fast. And it's, you always say it, right? If you have to surround yourself with the right people and it sounds easy and it sounds cliche and all that kind of stuff, but it really works because it's amazing when you have other people that are motivated, like you said, like-minded and are going in a direction and you want to go in that direction too. It's amazing how that can bring you up. Cause just try the experiment and then go hang out with some people that are kind of like just being negative about everything. It'll bring you down. And then you practicing what you preach, you know, showing your kids, like living your legacy. Like I want to leave this legacy for you want to leave this legacy for your kids. But the only way you can do that is if you show them, right? You like, I'll stay up all night if I have to. I'll do what I have to do to make this thing work. And I'm happiest most when I'm acting, when I'm a part of my acting business. And kind of leading yourself. And then you said the comparison is the thief of joy. I mean, like you just said, like
yeah.
Write that on your wall, write that on your window, wherever it has to go, because yeah. It's easy to do when we live in an Instagram, Facebook, social media world to where, well, when they're on vacation or they're taking pictures of this or they look like that or they have this type of job. There is a lot that can bring out negativity. Because you start comparing yourself to someone else and you see it all the time. It's happening with children now. And it's, that's a complicated life you have to live if you get caught up in that. So to have someone like you talking about this on our podcast, it means a ton to me. It means a ton to everyone I know that's listening. Because motivation, you need to find that motivation. And if you don't have it internally, you go externally and find it. And someone like yourself can help them get there. So a couple of things I want to get at now is... There's a couple of the branding aspect of it, because we're talking about social media a lot. You have a lot of great things to say, and I would be interested. So if I come across you, let's say on Instagram, and you're talking about all these things, or I hear you on a podcast, now immediately I'm a fan of yours. I might want to watch your show now. Where do I find your show? How do I learn more about this guy? What is he all about? I want to see him in his craft. So that's... Is that what you're doing with social media and then maybe showing behind the scenes stuff? But, you know, because like you said, you're cutting out the middle person. If I'm a director, if I'm trying to find some new actors, actresses, I might be able to go on Instagram and YouTube and all these different places to seek them out. Or I heard of this person. I can go to Instagram, check them out, what they're like behind the scenes. Tell me a little bit about how you are working in the social media world as it relates to your acting career.
Well, first, yeah, definitely social media in this day and time, we have to be on it in this industry. Any entrepreneur must use social media. I know a lot of people don't really like going too much on there, but what I use it for specifically, I talk about what's happening with my upcoming projects. I provide encouragement for other people. Those are the main things that you will see. Like if you were to visit my Instagram, which is Rodney Damon Collins, R-O-D-N-E-Y, then Damon, D-A-M-O-N, Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S. It's very easy to find. A lot of my social media is geared towards driving people to their purpose. So that's the main reason why I use it. I love sharing upcoming projects. You'll see behind the scenes of like the single life. You'll see us on set. You'll see us setting up. You'll see us behind scenes on Chosen Kin. You'll see some of the work that it takes to really build a show. It's a really cool platform because without social media, I think about this, it's like how many people wouldn't be discovered in this day and time?
Yeah.
There's so many people. It's just like Justin Bieber was discovered on YouTube. You know, it's like, you know, you think about that. It's like, wow, you know, 20, 30 years ago, this stuff didn't exist. You had to go and get in front of some like a gatekeeper's office in order to show them what you got. And definitely, I'm glad we do have the gatekeepers because, you know, they still help drive a lot of the industry. But now you can get out there and make yourself known to the world. And just think about the number of people on Instagram who make a living just doing posts every day. Like I'm even a brand ambassador also for several different companies. And they saw my Instagram, they loved what I do. And before you know it, they offer me compensation for promoting their products. So those are other ways which I've used it to make money as well.
Yep. So you get the influencer marketing going and we connected. I mean, so we talked to a lot of PR people and people trying to get on podcasts and all that. And the first thing we do is not necessarily take their word for it because we understand that they have a bias to get their client featured. And that's great. And there's nothing wrong with that in the way it should be. Someone's working for you. We immediately go to social media, right? We immediately go to Instagram. We immediately go to LinkedIn and Facebook and just check the internet and what's going on with this person. And then you can see what they're out, see what they're like. What does their voice sound like? What are their pictures? What are they doing out there? Are they an entrepreneur? Do they, and someone else, they have a different way of going about it, but that's how we do it. And we saw you, we're like, no, this is someone we have to talk to. And that's kind of how, so it's no different than if you get put in front of someone who's casting a new movie or just someone who's in the know and a director and they're just checking it out. Like, I'm going to go check your Instagram. And it's already very common. I think people are like, well, no, people don't do that. No, they actually do it. And we're proof that we do it and you do it. And it's only going to become more common as things develop. And who knows what platforms will exist in a month, 6 months, 5 years from now. But, you know, you just kind of evolve with it, just like anything else, just like the movie industry and the television has evolved into streaming and you can sit in your office and watch on your phone and close the door. You know what I mean? Like there's a million ways to do this. So I'm fascinated that, you know, that you're taking advantage of it. And like you said, who knows what that turns into? Maybe it becomes influencer marketing. You just become this motivational person. And you're putting stuff out there and people are like, wear my hat, wear this shirt, talk about this. And it's because it makes sense because you're a leader, you're a thought leader and people are interested in what you have to say. And then it sounds to me like you're doing this on your own because you're creating your own products as a result of it that are actually helping other people because clearly you're an actor. Clearly you provide motivation for other people. And now you're taking all of those thoughts and you're putting it into a book. Someone can take it and can learn about you in a couple hundred pages. So let's talk about the book. When's the book coming out? What's the book about?
The book, its official release date is March 15th. The book is entitled Shattered, A Journey Through the Pieces. It's available right now on Amazon Kindle for pre-orders, and the paperback pre-orders will be available the 1st of March, and then the official release March 15th. I named the book Shattered, A Journey Through the Pieces because it represents my life in so many ways. This is not an autobiography, but Eric, through all the things that I've done in my life, I spent a lot of time trying different things while I still knew what I really wanted to do. But I was thinking to myself that, okay, if I try to do this, if I go to law school, I went to law school for a year. If I go to law school, you know, maybe that will give me that, you know, that satisfaction. And then I'll be able to table that desire to be an actor and just say, you know what, I won't worry about it. Or if I become this real estate investor, which I did that and didn't like that. Or if I, you know, go to graduate school, I did that. But I've gone over to Africa to help build a school. That to me was one of the most life-changing experiences. I talk about that in the book. But one of the most important things I talk about, Eric, is in everything that I've worked on doing as an entrepreneur, is that I experienced a dark time of depression. And that's something we don't share. We don't want people to know that we have hurt. We're hurting through this process. And I talk about an attempted suicide. I really am open about it because I want people to know that you're not alone when you have those thoughts. I think about Christoph St. John, I don't know if you're a Young and the Restless fan at all, but that's a guilty pleasure of mine. I still watch Young and the Restless and all those guys.
Yeah.
And Christoph St. John, an actor, yesterday passed away. But we know he struggled with mental illness. It hasn't come out what the results of his death is, but it's one of the things that hurt me because people are struggling and people need to know that somebody is there for them. And through everything that I've done, I had a time where I experienced a business failure in my entrepreneurial exploits, and it really took me down. And I needed to make sure that I got healthy again. So I got therapy, I got counseling, and I did the right things to recover. But there was a time as an entrepreneur where I felt like enough is enough and I want to quit. I want people to know that you're not alone with those feelings, but you can recover from that. And you can be even better than before. But you can't live life alone. No man is an island. And the worst thing I did was I isolated myself.
Yeah. It's been amazing to me to see mental illness be talked about more. You're seeing it a lot with actors and actresses. You're seeing it a lot with athletes. It's being put out there. I don't know why. I think it's great because, like you just said, we need this. We need your book.
Right? Yeah.
Your story has to be told. And I'm just talking to you in this short amount of time and learning about you. Like, I'm excited for you that you're putting this out there. And I think it's a time when there are people that it's like you go in your senior year and you're willing to put yourself out there. You're willing to take that leap of faith and you take these small leaps of faith because it's like, hey, if I want to do this, I'm going to put myself out there because you open yourself up, right? People can criticize now. You know, you can make a TV show, you can make a movie, you can put a YouTube video out there and people could be like, what are you doing? That's terrible. I hate it. Or you can tell your story and people can mock it. They can make fun of it. I mean, bullying's real. Like there's a lot of bad stuff that's out there. But it's like you said, once you put yourself out there more and more and more, I think it becomes easier to tell that story. And then it helps the people that haven't put themselves out there that are dealing with something. I'm guessing I'm not a professional in this area by any stretch, that helps them as well. Because like you just said, then you're not alone. So you go through this time and you do all this and you just talked about going to Africa and I believe you talked about raising 30,000 books for their library. Clearly, yeah. You have a love of learning, a love of reading. I mean, you're writing your own book. I mean, that's obviously meant something to you. Just so we understand, like, when did that happen compared to when you were at your, darkest moment?
That actually happened before. I was working for a nonprofit. At the time, I was in youth development. And I was a director for an organization. And we had a trip to Africa with a partner, a church, to go help build a school. So that happened in 2009. And my wife and I went over there. My wife, who's an educator, who loved the opportunity to help build a school. We had the chance to go over there and spend 3 weeks. We had no running water, no electricity, so there was no Facebooking or anything. It was pretty much spending time with people. And you forget how special it is just to sit around a dinner table and talk to people. Those are some of the things that we came back with a huge appreciation for, was that we have to be careful about how much time we spend doing other stuff outside of just connecting with people. We had a chance to help a young man finish college over there because at the time, college in Liberia, we were in Monrovia, Liberia. And I'm not sure if you know, but they had a major civil war, which took place. And we were over there, shortly after that. So it was a very difficult time for the area. But spending time with people who had little or nothing, but they had so much gratitude for life, it did something to me. It helped me realize some of the things that matter. So going on that trip, that actually helped bring me back when I went through my dark time also, because I was able to go back and reflect on that time. Look, I had video footage at that time. So watching that time, and even from my therapist at the time, that helped me when I had that dark time. And I just want to encourage everybody to find a way to impact another person's life. The more we think about other people and what they are trying to achieve in life, the more what we are seeking after is going to happen. And I kind of, paraphrase Zig Ziglar, which he basically said, the more you help people get what they want out of life, that's when you get what you're looking for. So I really do believe that that's our job as an entrepreneur. We deal with problems and we offer solutions.
Yeah.
As an actor, I'm in service. I offer solutions through the shows.
You're doing it for somebody else, not for yourself at that point. And it gives you that opportunity to be your best. And then pull back on those times, like you said, about, you know, watching your senior year show that you put on and remembering your why, like you said. And then sounds like you're going back to your time of in Liberia and pulling that out. Like you said, it was done. Bad things after that happened. But those moments allowed you to pull out your why, and then to continue to go and then to remember, like, oh, wait a second, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it is, it's like you said, it's talking to people. It's having those interactions. That's why one of the main reasons I love this podcast is I get to talk to someone like you who haven't met yet before. I've learned about you, and then we can have a conversation. We can get deep with things and get real with it. And I can learn from it, but it's just conversations. It's the reason I like listening to other podcasts and other conversations, because you can feel a part of it and you can hear their stories. That's why I think people engage with actors and actresses, is you can watch this and you can, like you just said, you're doing it for somebody else, and it might be completely not real, but at the same time, it's important. It's important to have those moments. I think it's people like sports, for example, as they can get out of their own head and get into something else. And I remember when I had my kids, and I realized at the time when my kid needed something, what I needed was unnecessary. I mean, obviously I needed what I needed for the basics of life, but like I needed to focus on them, and it completely took out any self-doubt or negative thoughts I had, because my only at that moment, I had to help my kid out. And I still feel that way. And I always feel like if you're helping somebody else, like you said, that all your own head trash or whatever you got going on in there kind of disappears, because you're helping somebody else now and they're the priority. And, it's amazing, you know, kind of the journey you've gone on to kind of get where you are today and to have these incredible thoughts and share it with us. Like I said before, like, we need your book and we need other books like it. We need other people to tell their stories and for you to continue acting and to continue to get found, because it's an important part of what we're all doing. And we need people like you.
Well, Eric, we need people like you also to help tell these stories.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
This is a collaborative effort.
Well, it's like you said, when you say it like that, it's like you're talking about the people working background, right? It's the director. It's the people you don't see. And you hear about it all the time. And you're like, you know, we want to thank the people. You don't see these people, but without these people, this show does not happen. You know, and I've seen comedians up on stage. Fluffy's a comedian. And he was like, before he even started his show, he started talking about everyone you couldn't see, from the person who's sweeping the floor to the person that sold you the tickets to the people doing the lighting. And he started making fun of the guy lighting because he couldn't keep up with them. But it was like having fun with it. And it's like those without those people to help, they couldn't tell their story that they needed to tell. You know, without Amazon and Amazon Kindle, I wouldn't maybe be able to read your book, because I like to read my books on Kindle, right? You know what I mean? There's so many different ways to look at it.
And, you know, I want to share something too.
Please.
That stood out so profound with me. The first time I ever did a background job, it was Scandal. It was like the Scandal season finale a few years ago, several years ago. And I'm just like, are you giving me background? I'm young, I'm going to work on Scandal. And so I get on the set, and it's at USC. They basically have taken the basketball arena and they've converted into a complete Republican convention. And that's what they did. It was amazing. So I walk in there, and standing right next to me is Angela Bassett. I'm like, I'm just like, okay, let me compose myself. Let me keep my composure. You know, act like I've been here before. You know, that's what they say. If you score a touchdown, act like you've been there before.
So. That's right.
But so then, before you know it, they grab me and Kerry Washington walks out. I was like, so Carrie's standing right there. And they was like, we want you to stand right with her while she does these lines and stuff. So I'm just standing right here, my first day ever doing it. And I'm learning from somebody who is like one of the top actresses in the world. It was amazing. It was an incredible, amazing experience. But what happened is after Kerry Washington was done for the day, what she stood up and said to every background actor was, thank you, because without you, we do not have a show. I started out in background. I know what it means to do this work, and you are greatly appreciated for what you do. And I was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
She doesn't have to do that, mm-mm, you know, but she showed her life a little bit like, hey, I was there before. I know what you guys are going through.
Yeah.
Hang in there. Your chance is coming. Your opportunity is coming, but you have to stay in the game long enough. But also, you matter now. What you're doing now matters.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing is that every time I step on set, whatever I'm doing, it matters. And that's what I love about my job. I want to encourage anybody, whatever they do as an entrepreneur, whatever you're doing, it matters to people. Somebody needs that. Somebody needs that service. And you have to have that feeling and that drive every single morning when you get up.
That's it. I mean, it's as simple as that. And you said it too, because she doesn't have to say that. And there's no reason she just like really does not have to say that. And then to say it and to remember where she came from, right? That is critical.
Yeah.
And that's you remembering where you came from as you continue to go down your career. That's why you're giving back with your book. That's why you're having this podcast. And that's why you share your stories on Instagram, because you're remembering where you came from and you want to help other people. You want to bring other people with you. And I think that's something that never let go of that. Now, Rodney, I appreciate all your thoughts on this and just the motivation, your story. You know, you kind of taking us, you know, to places that it's just, we have to understand where someone like you has been. And now to look at you, it's fascinating. And we're excited to continue to watching it. And what I want to do now, though, is go into a little quick question, quick answer, if that's all right, and get you on out of here and
Oh, yeah. You
can get on with your day. So
sounds great.
Yeah. So I know you're watching TV as well, and there's tons of shows. I always talk to people and they're like, did you see this show? Or did you see that show? I'm like, I hadn't heard of that show. There's so many shows. There's so many movies. There's so many things to watch. And it's awesome. I love it because you can get turned on to something new all the time. But if you were to think about it, what show on Netflix, Hulu, or any or Amazon Prime are you binge watching right now? Besides your own, of course.
Besides my own. It's the show, good grief. I was watching Jason Bateman's show.
Yes.
In Missouri. I can't remember the name of the city right now that they're in, but it's such a cool show. I watched the first season, the second season, and I can't remember the city that they're in, and it's in, but he was an accountant for an accounting firm, and they were involved with some criminal activity. So a lot of his partners ended up getting killed, and then he got forced to go to this city and basically be like a kind of a drug runner for the mob.
Yeah. This is Ozark, right?
They're going to kill. Yeah, Ozark.
Yeah, I could. I looked it up while we were talking. I had to search it because I wasn't coming to my head either, and I knew what it was. I couldn't think of it.
Yeah, Ozark is like, because, you know, I'll turn it on, you know, so that's one of the shows that I'll sit down and, you know, when I get time and I can watch 5 or 6 episodes. And then there's another show called All American on the CW. Now, it's not on streaming services, but I only can watch it on demand most times because I'm never home.
Right.
So I have to like record a ton of episodes and I'll just sit down and watch them all at once.
Yeah.
But I love that story about this guy who comes up in the inner city of Inglewood, Compton area of Los Angeles. And then he gets recruited to go play football at Beverly Hills High School. And the challenges of going from the inner city to very affluent area, and how he has to code switch and how he has to be a different person in these two places, and is struggling with identity. And it's an incredible show. I love All American. So those two shows right now, they have me. And when I watch them, I study it.
Yeah.
I'm really doing homework.
Yeah.
I watch everything now with a critical eye. It's no longer just for entertainment. I'm like, okay, what can I learn from this actor?
Well, you're not just a consumer anymore. You're a producer. And I mean, that was one of the first things I learned is don't just consume, produce something with it. And that can mean you can consume it, but learn from it and use it in your craft or whatever you're trying to do and your thought process. So no, it makes a ton of sense to me. So you've looking back on your career in acting, and I mean, take it to any time that you ever have, you know, acted. What was your favorite character you've ever been?
Favorite character I've ever been. I'm going to have to say my favorite character is Dr. Watson on Chosen Kin.
Yeah.
Because this person, as the character continues to develop, there's a lot of things you're going to see about him. I liken him to like a Nick Fury type person from Marvel.
Yeah. Yep.
That he's going to morph. He's going to morph and become that type of person. Right now, he's kind of mysterious. I know a lot about the origins of the superheroes. I know a lot about the impending danger that's coming to Earth. And I'm just trying to figure out a way to combat that as well as deal with some of the criminal elements on the show. But my character, he's a pretty cool character. He's very important to the development of the show, as well as we have a feature film that's going to be produced by a company. Buffalo 8 is going to produce a feature film for us. For Chosen Kin, that's going to help tell the story even more.
Oh, wow. So that's going to become a film now on top of the show that you have.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Social media. We talked about it before. We know we use Instagram, but what is your favorite social media app as it relates to business?
Instagram.
Yeah.
It really is, because it's a fast commercial.
Yep.
Fast commercial. You know, the attention span of people is very short now, and what you can do, you know, you set up your Instagram to where you post on your Twitter, your Facebook, and everything else all at one time.
Yeah.
So I go on Instagram. I find that most people who are either promoting themselves, a business, or whatever, they use Instagram.
Yeah.
And that's what I love.
That's a great way to say it, a fast commercial. And I think that makes a lot of sense. So you've mentioned sports a little bit. And so I'm going to give you right now, for the rest of your life, you're allowed to root for one sports team. What team is that?
You said one sport.
One team for the rest of your life. You got to choose them right now.
Well, I'm gonna have to. You're probably gonna call me a homer, but or whatever, or a bandwagoner. But I'm a Cowboys fan since I was 5 years old.
There you go.
I ride or die with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and they've broken my heart a few times when they beat the Bill. I'm from Buffalo, New York, originally, and the Cowboys 2 years in a row, man, just took us out. But the Cowboys have been like successful, but they haven't. I know they've struggled recently, but I mean, the Bills don't even make the playoffs anymore, so that's another story. But the Cowboys at least get to the playoffs; they just don't seem to do a whole lot once they get there. I guess is the big issue.
Yeah, I watch First Take whenever I get a chance, and Stephen A. Smith loves to rag on them and say they're an accident waiting to happen. And honestly, I haven't been able to argue with that. I was like,
yeah.
The man is right.
Yeah. People love to create hot takes, especially around those polarizing teams, because you could say something good or bad about the Cowboys, and there's so many fans that you're going to get them. You're going to get some outrage on social media, right? And it's going to help with their viewership. So.
Yeah, he rouses up.
Okay, so real quick, so you spent some time in Cleveland. Did you find, I know you're only rooting for the Cowboys, but did you generate a love for the teams in Cleveland as well?
Yes, I do. I love Cleveland Browns. I love the, I want to see the team win and recover. I'm so happy this past season that they had success. Baker Mayfield, I think as long as they give him time to develop,
yep,
and grow, that, you know, the Browns are going to be a team to be dealt with in the near future. And when you look at the history since the Browns left Cleveland and came back in 99, they've been the worst team in the NFL since then. So it's like, you really want to see them recover. I actually did some work for the Cleveland Cavaliers in the early 2000s. I used to work on promotions during the game. So I used to be one of the guys running out on the court, getting the fans down there to participate in the games. And so once again, I was using my personality to get out there and have fun. I did that in front of 20,000 people. It was fun, but I want to see the Cavaliers recover.
Yeah.
I definitely love what LeBron has done for them, and nobody can be upset with him at all. He gave Cleveland everything he could.
Oh man. For sure.
But I want to see the organization recover. And I think, you know, they're in for a rebuilding time. So
yep.
I'm not sure how long this process is going to take, but
they've had a good run.
Yeah, they had an incredible run.
Yeah. And you were going to talk, did you say the Indians?
Yeah, you know, the Indians, man, I still feel like, you know, been close to a World Series.
Tell me about it.
A couple times.
Yep.
Yeah, especially back with the Braves and then the Marlins. The Marlins, that series should have been done.
And then the Cubs, then it just keeps on going, right?
Yeah, it's like, can one of these teams do it? So
yeah,
when the Cavs won the championship, it was an incredible feeling. But I was like, I want to see the Browns and I want to see the Indians return to prominence.
No, I hear you there. My father's from Cleveland. My grandparents lived in Cleveland. I'm from Buffalo. So it's, as you know, it's just right I-90. And I grew up a huge Indians fan and have always had a love for Cleveland, for Ohio, huge Ohio State Buckeye fan. My parents met there.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's just a deep rootedness in those teams and those, in that city and in that state in general, just like Buffalo. Buffalo's got the same thing. I mean, I could argue that maybe the worst team since 99 has been the Bills, not the Browns, but that's one of those, like the toilet bowl conversation, but you know what I'm saying? But it's, I totally agree with you. And then like when LeBron won, I'm not a Cavs fan, but you know, you're rooting for the city. You really are. And that's the kind of team. That's the kind of city. It's great fans. So I'm glad you got to spend some time. And I could see that you getting on the court and getting the fans involved. I mean, you have an infectious laugh and just a desire to help people and motivate people. So I could imagine that was a lot of fun for you and is part of your career of like, right, just getting people involved and helping people have a good time. And there's nothing wrong with having a good time. And so what I want to do now, though, is one last question and find out how people can connect with you. But before that, I'm going to ask you this. When was the moment you told yourself you needed to make it happen and you gave yourself no excuses?
When I finally just said no more excuses and I'm over it, 3 years ago, when I decided to be a full-time actor and I basically left all the comforts of employment, you know, so-called comforts of having a, you know, paycheck every couple of weeks. It took me, because the job that I had, I basically was laid off for, and, you know, he laid me off. And then I basically took 4 months. I collected unemployment for 5 months because I just wanted to get myself together. You know, my wife was okay with it. And I just spent every single day meditating on what I need to do next. And I was like, this next thing I do, this next step I make, there's no stopping. I'm pushing all the way through. And so after evaluating, going back and forth over what decision to make, that's what I decided a little over 3 years ago. I was like, there's no stopping it. No matter what, no financial issue, no emotional issue, nothing's going to stop this next thing from happening.
Yeah.
And and you know, the more determined that I've been, the more things have worked out.
Well, I can hear it. I mean, I hear it in your voice. I hear it in your stories and, you know, pulling it back and pulling out your why and going through that roller coaster ride that it is and, you know, reaching a low point, but then coming back up and here you are. And like I said, just a little while ago, your infectious laugh, just personality. It's been an absolute pleasure for me to just have a conversation with you. It's just good stuff, man. And I don't know another way to say it, but I appreciate the time you spent with us. And I want to know what's the best way people can get a hold of you and to learn more about you and your what you have going on.
Man, I would love to connect with everybody who's listening. Thank you guys for listening to us. You can reach me through Instagram at Rodney, R-O-D-N-E-Y, Damon, D-A-M-O-N, Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S. Or if you're on Facebook, you can. I have a fan page on Facebook. It's Rodney Damon Collins, actor, speaker. That page right there, you can get connected on there. Or if you follow me on Twitter, Rodney Damon Collin. They didn't allow me to put the S.
Ran out of room, man.
Yeah, they said, oh, we don't have any more room. I said, well, you're going to keep it right here.
Yeah.
So I try to make myself found on those platforms right there. And you'll see announcements about the book release. And I'll be doing even, I'm actually going to be launching my own podcast in the near future, dealing more with my book and really just helping people, encouraging people from that.
That's smart, man. That's a good move by you. A podcaster, an amazing platform. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes. I just want to say once again, Rodney, thank you so much for the time you spent, for motivating us, for telling us your story, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Eric, thank you very much, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Oh, One more thing.
Yes.
Anybody in the Charlotte area, make sure you go check out this restaurant called The Belly Grill. It's over in Matthews.
That's awesome. What's so amazing about that is it's right down the street from our office. So a lot of people that listen to the podcast are local to this area and people all outside of the area too. But man, we'll be telling anyone that comes in here where they need to go get lunch and dinner. And it's literally probably like 7 minutes, not even down the street from our office, probably 5 minutes. So that's awesome, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rodney, thank you again. And we will chat soon.
Eric, thank you very much, man. And have a great day.
Rodney, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your stories from the acting world to helping those in need, we are all better off from the time we spent with you. The perspectives from Rodney on making no excuses and taking the next step in the journey and all perspectives you, the business leader, can use for yourself. And for that, Rodney, thank you. And for anyone looking to talk to Rodney about his book and career, we encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram at Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here.
When all is, play my cards right.
This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com.